Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. If you like, you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. You can also donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking donate, or you can go to buymeacupofcoffee/CraigU. All of these links are also in my show notes. And for people who donate, I have various levels of benefits. For $5, you get a thank you at the start of the next episode of Canadian History X, Canada's Great War, and from John to Justin, and on social media. For $10, you get everything from the $5, plus this episode is sponsored by with your name at the start. Also, I'll state it's sponsored by you on social media. For $20, everything from the $5 and $10, plus a second episode sponsored by you and promotion of something you're working on. And for $50, everything from the $5, $10, and $20 plus, you get to choose a topic for me to cover on Canadian History X. On that note, I want to say thank you to Darren, who is sponsoring this episode. And Darren also has a blog called dragonbyte.ca. That's B-Y-T-E. And it's chronicling his 8-month cross-Canada road trip. And it's very interesting, and I'm following along. And you can too through his blog, again, dragonbyte.ca. Remember, that's B-Y-T-E, and his Twitter handle of Photo Darren. And Darren is spelled D-A-R-R-E-N. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, C-R-A-I-G-B-A-I-R-D. And I'm on Instagram and TikTok, where I put up daily videos about Canada's history. Just go to my username, Bairdo37. And you can find weekly videos on Canada's history on my YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/c/CanadianHistoryX. If you want to find transcripts of every episode I've ever done, you can go to my website, CanadaEHX.com. And there's over 700 posts on Canada's history there. Canada has a long history of Indigenous actors who have found fame in film and television, including Graham Greene and Chief Dan George, somebody I covered just a few months ago. Today, I'm looking at one of the first who played an iconic character and helped to bring in new generations of Indigenous actors. His name was Jay Silverheels, and this is the story of the man who brought Tonto to life. Born Harold J. Smith of the Six Nations of the Grand River Reserve near Hagersville, Ontario, he was the grandson of Chief A.G. Smith and Mary Wedge. His parents were Alexander George Edwin Smith and Mabel Phoebe Dockstarter. Alexander Smith was a First World War veteran who served in several battles, including the Battle of the Somme, and he would be awarded the Military Cross for bravery. His grandfather was Alex Smith, a chief whose Indigenous name meant two rows of people. He was given that name because he was a celebrated orator who could speak Latin. His grandfather would give him advice that would stay with Silverheels for the rest of his life. He would say, quote, "Never cheat. If you have to cheat to win, then that's admitting the other person is better than you are. Never cheat." As a child, Silverheels began to notice that he was different from the boys who lived outside of the reserve. Disturbed by the color of his skin, he would wash diligently in the hopes of removing the color. His habit of washing excessively would become a pattern that would stay with him well into his adult life. Once, when his mother asked him to walk to the store, he scrubbed his face until it was sore and parted his black hair to the side rather than combing it back as his father did. As he walked, a car approached and a child looked out the window and said, quote, "Look, look at that black Indian," end quote. Silverheels broke into tears and raced home. He would say decades later, quote, "It taught me a lesson. I never cried again at insults. I fought, yes, but I cried my fill that day," end quote. As a child, he would go to the movies in Brantford, and he disliked the way the Indigenous were portrayed on the screen. Later in his life, it would be something he would work to change. By the time he became a young man, Silverheels excelled in athletics, especially lacrosse. As a young man, he was good enough that when the owners of the Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens created an indoor lacrosse league to fill arenas in the summer, Silverheels was one of the first players chosen for the new league. He would play for the Toronto Tecumsehs, as well as lacrosse teams in Buffalo, Rochester, Atlantic City, and Akron, throughout the 1930s. In 1997, Silverheels was actually inducted into the Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame. Ted Reeve, a Toronto Telegram columnist, would say, quote, "He was the best young lacrosse player I've ever seen," end quote. Silverheels was known for his composure and sleeping in the dressing room before a game. In truth, he was nervous to the point he couldn't stand up. He would say, quote, "I was so scared I was weak. I used to lie down in the dressing room because I couldn't stand up. I'd walk out on the floor shaking, thinking, I can't do it. I can't. Then the whistle would blow and I'd play in a fury. Happened every time. End quote. The Montreal Gazette would report on Silverheels, who at the time was going by his name Harry Smith, quote, a lean, bronzed Indian buck, 19 years of age and bearing the mundane name of Harry Smith, fired a burning long shot past goaler Sud Sutherland in the fourth period at the Forum last night, and that was the deciding goal that gave the Toronto Tecumsehs a 6-4 victory over the Canadiens. End quote. Lou Marsh in the Toronto Star would write, quote, Harry Smith, the 19-year-old Mohawk Indian recruit of Pete Campbell's Tecumsehs, has only been in two pro box lacrosse games, but he has already had 5 stitches taken in his scalp. End quote. It was lacrosse that would lead Silverheels to find his career on screen. In 1937, he was taking part in a lacrosse tour, and Joe E. Brown saw him. Brown was a very popular comedian at the time, and he was impressed by the athleticism of Silverheels. Brown told Silverheels to do a screen test and helped him join the Screen Actors Guild. Silverheels would say of Brown, quote, nobody knows how much good that man does in the world. He's helped so many people. End quote. This quickly led to Silverheels becoming an extra and stuntman in movies, typically westerns. For his on-screen name, he would adopt the last name of Silverheels, which came from a nickname he had as a lacrosse player. He would have a large extra role in Drums Along the Mohawk, which would be the only time that Silverheels would ever play a Mohawk. He was paid $350 per week, although he had no lines. He said, quote, I got to shoot an actress, I forget who, and I stalked Henry Fonda all through the picture. I didn't get to kill him, though. End quote. The $350 he made per week would be about $6,700 today. Silverheels would say, quote, they were making a lot of westerns then, so I was lucky. I made $16.50, sometimes twice a day, for riding a horse in some big Indian battle scene. Sometimes, though, I went hungry. End quote. Working as an extra, Silverheels did not like how white actors played indigenous characters. They would often move stiffly, make strong gestures, and bark guttural sounds. Silverheels would say, quote, I was raised on a reservation and I know old Indians. They were men who had been hunters and trackers, and they never made an awkward move. They were graceful as cats, and they spoke with soft, low voices. End quote. At this point, Silverheels decided to demonstrate proper indigenous characters by becoming an actor himself. He stopped working as an extra, got his actor's A card, found an agent, and began to study acting. He worked odd jobs to afford acting classes, and sometimes he washed dishes to pay for a meal. A friend who had performed at the Pasadena Playhouse told him to read Shakespeare. When Silverheels said he was indigenous and he would never get to play Shakespeare, his friend said, quote, never mind, if you can read these lines so they make sense, you can read any line, end quote. Silverheels then began reading Shakespeare while his friend coached him. In 1948, he was told he had the chance at a part in Captain from Castile, directed by Henry King. In preparation, Silverheels skipped meals to make sure his wardrobe would fit. For the day of his interview, he dressed in his best suit. As an actor, he was often told to take off his shirt so he could be examined by casting directors, where he was eyed by casting directors like wives buying meat from shady butchers, as he would say. King would tell him to remove his shirt and then told him that he had the part. The part was of an indigenous prince who had befriended Tyrone Power. 1 year later, Silverheels would play Geronimo, and it was while playing in that movie he was offered a new role that would change his life, Tonto in The Lone Ranger. Canada has a great history when it comes to folklore. There are many stories of ghost trains, mysterious creatures, and places where few would dare to tread. If you love folklore as much as I do, then the show for you is Fireside Canada. This fantastic show is hosted by David Williams, and he will tell you a tale that not only dives into the history, but also the cultural significance of the story. Vicious pirates, flying canoes, swamp witches, and tormented spirits are all ready for you to discover on Fireside Canada. Go have a listen on all podcast platforms and learn about what goes bump in the night in Canada. The story followed the Lone Ranger, who was the last of a group of Texas Rangers who had been killed. In the show, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode through the West, helping people in the towns that dot the Wild West landscape. Originally, Tonto was played by a white actor on the radio, but on television, an indigenous actor was needed. Silverheels would sign on for the role, but he was not happy, citing that the role was insulting to the indigenous. The show would run until 1957 and was one of the highest-rated shows of its time, becoming the first true hit television show for ABC. Silverheels would act in the Lone Ranger movie in 1956 and the Lone Ranger in the Lost City of Gold in 1958. The role brought Silverheels fame and fortune. Each year, he was paid $75,000 for his role, or about $775,000 today. This was about half of what his co-star, Clayton Moore, would make. Silverheels also did all of his own stunts and never used a double for hard fighting and horse riding scenes in the show. In 1956, Silverheels returned home to his reserve in Brantford, where he was met with a hero's welcome. This was his first time back home in 18 years. A parade was held down the streets of Brantford for a sea of children lining the road to see him from the car he was sitting in. At one point, hundreds of children began to surround his car and climb onto it. Enough children were riding in the car that its rear bumper started to scrape along the pavement. A Meet Tonto event scheduled in Lions Park was then cancelled for fear it would cause children to be trampled in the rush. His reception was said to be bigger than the receptions given to former Prime Minister Louis Saint-Laurent and current Prime Minister John Diefenbaker. Silverheels visited two hospitals where he met with children and signed autographs. At City Hall, he signed the guest book and shook hands with the mayor, and then attended a formal luncheon at the largest hotel in the city. Mayor Max Sherman would say, quote, "A demonstration of affection the like of which has never been seen in the city of Brantford. It was bigger than the welcome for Gene Autry," end quote. During the luncheon, Silverheels would rise to thank the mayor and began to tear up over the homecoming he had been given. He would say, quote, "And they say that Indians never do show emotion. This will be the high point of my life, no matter what else happens," end quote. Throughout his time as Tonto, Silverheels spent his spare time working out, running, lifting weights, and punching a bag. In 1954, he would suffer a heart attack and was told not to do such things anymore. He would then start a fat-free diet in order to keep his body lean. While the 221 episodes of the show helped make Silverheels a household name and brought him more money than he could ever thought possible, he did have issues with how it portrayed the indigenous. He would tell Maclean's that the way Tonto talked, using phrases like, "situation plenty bad," was an insult to the indigenous. He would say, quote, "Look at it. The Lone Ranger has saved Tonto's life, and Tonto has saved the Lone Ranger's. Therefore, they should be brothers, closer than brothers. But the Lone Ranger treats him like some sort of servant, and this seems to suit Tonto fine," end quote.
"Why, you Kemosabe."
"Kemosabe? That sounds familiar."
"That's right, Kemosabe. You trusty scout."
"Trusty scout?"
"Yes, Ranger. Long time back, when we both young. Me remember time Indian camp burned. Renegade Indians raid settlement when men of tribe away. Kill my mother, my sisters. They leave me for dead. You found me, nursed me back to health, saved me from dying. When me well, you give me horse to go find my father. Me take horse only when you accept gift. My ring, it make good luck. Me call you Kemosabe. It mean trusty scout. Me never forget you. You remember now?"
"Yes. You're Tonto."
"That's right. Me Tonto. Now me take care of you."
"Tonto, I guess I drifted off again. How long have I been here now?"
"3 days. How you feel?"
"Still a little weak. The other rangers, Tonto, all dead."
"Hmm."
"One of them, Captain Reed, was my brother."
"Too bad. Rangers all fine men."
"We didn't have a chance, Tonto. It was a perfect ambush and double cross. How did you happen to find me?"
"Me hunt here in canyon often. Ride in here on scout over yonder. Find rangers and dead horse."
"I see."
"While you sleep, me bury other rangers over there. Make grave for men. Bring belongings here."
"That was good of you, Tonto."
"Them brave men."
"Yes, they were brave. And they won't be forgotten. I've spent a lot of time thinking. For every one of those men, I'm going to bring 100 lawbreakers to justice. I'll make that Cavendish gang and every criminal that I can find, for that matter, regret the day those rangers were killed. Tonto, from this moment on, I'm going to devote my life to establishing law and order in this new frontier, to make the West a decent place to live."
"That good. But when Cavendish gang know you escape ambush, you marked man, they hunt you down, many against one."
"No one is going to know I'm alive. I'm supposed to be dead, and I'm going to stay that way. I'll hide my identity somehow. I'll wear a disguise of some sort."
"You mean like mask?"
"That's it, Tonto. From now on, I'll wear a mask."
Even outside the show, Sylvia Hills found that he and his co-star Clayton Moore were treated differently. At a gathering in West Virginia, Moore was approached to visit a children's ward of a nearby hospital. No one asked Sylvia Hills to do so. The children at the hospital were excited to see the Lone Ranger, but kept asking where was Tonto. Sylvia Hills was asked by Moore later why he didn't come. He would respond, quote, "I speak your language. If you had asked me, I'd have been glad to go. But I am no animal that falls humbly along behind the Lone Ranger," end quote. Sylvia Hills also had harsh words for anyone who passed themselves off as indigenous, including one European who adopted an indigenous name and became a technical advisor for films with indigenous in them. Sylvia Hills would say, quote, "I'm a Mohawk. If you ever pass yourself off as an expert on Mohawk Indians, watch out for me," end quote. It was Sylvia Hills' hope that he could one day star in a television show that restored the stature of the indigenous that he felt was being lost. Speaking of his character's iconic habit of calling the Lone Ranger Kimosabe, Sylvia Hills would say, quote, "It's supposed to mean faithful friend or trusty scout. Personally, I think it's just mumbo-jumbo," end quote. While he did criticize the character of Tonto, he was still happy that the show portrayed an indigenous character in a relatively positive manner rather than as an enemy. After the show ended, Sylvia Hills found that he was typecast only playing these indigenous characters. With acting work beginning to dry up after The Lone Ranger, except for the occasional television guest roles, Sylvia Hills would start to work as a salesperson to supplement his acting income. Inspired by his youth on the Six Nations Reserve, he would write a book of poetry about his time there, and he would recite his work on television. Sylvia Hills would raise and race standard bred horses in his spare time as well. Once, when he was asked if his horse could outrun Tonto's horse Scout in a race, Sylvia Hills responded, quote, "Heck, I could outrun Scout," end quote. Sylvia Hills would also obtain a harness racing license, and he competed in tracks around the country. His friend Tom Shelley would state, quote, "He had a genuine love of horses," end quote. Sylvia Hills was also married twice, and he would have 2 sons and 4 daughters. In 1963, Sylvia Hills would create the Indian Actors Workshop, which helped many budding indigenous actors navigate the acting world and find work. His friend Lois Red Elk would say, quote, "He labored very, very long in getting all the right equipment and scripts and contacting Indian people and encouraging us. I met him at the workshop, and at that time he was working in an episode of the Virginian television show. He just stipulated in his contract that Indian people get into the series. He created the atmosphere for us to get into the industry. Before that, Indian people had to play props, extras, backgrounds. There just wasn't any Indian people with speaking parts," end quote. While Sylvia Hills was typecast by the role of Tonto, he seemed grateful for what it gave him, and he would often poke fun at it later in his life. In 1969, he appeared as Tonto on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. In the sketch, he would say, quote, "My name is Tonto, I hail from Toronto, and I speak Esperanto," end quote.
You know, working so closely for all these years with one man, even the Lone Ranger, would probably put a strain on any relationship. And we were wondering what might happen if Tonto decided he wanted temporary change and decided to seek employment elsewhere. So here's the premise. I'm playing the personnel director of a large corporation, for example, NBC, and I'm going to interview prospective employees. Now, let's see, who's the next applicant? Tishman, Tibor, Tobias, Tonto. Miss Loomis, would you send in Mr. Tonto, please? Nice of you to come in. Let's see. Let's get right to the application here. May I have the last name, please?
Tonto.
All righty. The first?
Tonto.
And middle?
Tonto.
Tonto, Tonto, Tonto?
No, no, no. No first or last name. All Tonto.
Well, that's certainly an unusual name.
Ah. Just talking about that the other day with Hildegard, Kenton Vloss, and Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Well, Mr. Tonto, I'm just looking over your application here, and I'm not sure we have an opening at this time for a faithful sidekick who can make a tasty dinner out of desert roots.
First you take our land, then you knock our skills.
No, 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 I didn't mean to knock your skills. It's nothing of the sort. Perhaps if we had an interview in depth here. Now, would you tell me, who was your last employer? Can I have that?
I worked 30 years as faithful sidekick for Kimosabe.
Mm-hmm.
Hunt, fish, make food, sew clothes,
mm-hmm.
sweep up, stay awake all night, listen for enemies for Kimosabe,
mm-hmm.
risk life for Kimosabe.
Mm-hmm.
30 lousy years.
He would also work in a variety of commercials and roles that gave a nod to his time as Tonto, including one for Chevrolet in 1970, when he played a chief who rescues two lost hikers who ignored his advice. The two men in the commercial had both played the Lone Ranger on the original television show. In 1976, Silverheel suffered a stroke that limited his ability to earn a living. In 1977, his friend and Lone Ranger co-star Clayton Moore rode a horse similar to the one Tonto rode in honor of him at the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Parade. Tom Shelley, a close friend of Silverheel's, would say, quote, "Two things kept this man alive. He had a full-blooded Mohawk spirit and a strong, strong heart." End quote. The last acting role for Silverheels would be in an episode of Chips in 1980. On May 5, 1980, Silverheels died from a stroke. Shelley would say, quote, "Jay Silverheels was much more than just Tonto. This man gave more to this business than he ever received. He was the founder of the Indian Actors Workshop and also worked with the handicapped, the elderly, alcoholics, and drug addicts. And there were hundreds and hundreds of kids in the children's hospital. Those kids, oh, they just loved him," end quote. Clayton Moore would say of his co-star, quote, "A perfect gentleman and a true fighter for the Indian cause. He was a great man with a great sense of humor. I'm going to miss him very much," end quote.
March 5th, 1980, we lost a wonderful man, Jay Silverheels. This special award is for Jay Silverheels. Jay was a full-blooded Mohawk Indian. He was born on the Six Nations Reservation in Brantford, Canada. When he was a young man, he came to the United States of America and made this country his home. Jay was very proud of the Indian people, and the Indian race was extremely proud of their son, Tano. Tano, of course, was my sidekick. He said to me one time, "Ah, that's right, you Kimo Sabe," which means faithful friend. Jay was a fine athlete. He was a golden glove boxer, a lacrosse player, and an excellent hand on a horse. 1949, I shook hands with Jay for the very first time. There was a bond between the white man and an Indian. Jay was a wonderful man. He had a great sense of humor, played a lot of tricks. As a matter of fact, the very first time that we shook hands, he said to me, he says, "You know, Clay, you remind me of a poor man's Chester Morse."
Silverheels' ashes would be returned to his reserve in Ontario. In 1993, Silverheels was inducted into the Hall of Great Western Performers at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. His portrait hangs at the Buffalo Theater in Buffalo, New York, and he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. His star on the Walk of Fame was the first ever awarded to an Indigenous person. I'll finish this episode with a quote from the Brantford newspaper in an editorial behind Silverheels' death. It states, quote, "The world knew him as an actor. Many of the Six Nations in this area knew him as a man, and the sort of man who commanded respect in every facet of his life," end quote. I hope you enjoyed that episode and my look at Jay Silverheels. Next week, we're looking at the Canadian Second World War hero, Joan Bamford Fletcher. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird, and I'm on Instagram at Bairdo37. As well, again, if you want to support the podcast, you can for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. And you can donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking Donate. I'd also like to thank all of my wonderful patrons, and I apologize if I get any names incorrect. Michael Matthews, Joanna Parker, Jeff Dahl, Vobs, Robert Page, Richard D., Colin Johnson, Jeff Hershey, Kyle Murray, Steve Paikin, Matthew Garthaud, Lionel Romaine, Dr. Bob Turner, an anonymous patron that I truly do appreciate, Randy Hayden, Doug Campbell, Reg W., Deborah Carlson, Francis Helbling, Nick Zinri, Shannon Marshall, Clinton Martinez, Dimitri Chauve, Aaron O'Hara Myers, Robert Dunseith, Todd Casey, Catherine Rawa, Luke S., J.P. Bear, Jason Hall, Phil Maynard, and Iris Gray. Information from Maclean's, Canadian Encyclopedia, the Ottawa Journal, Wikipedia, the Vancouver Province, the Montreal Gazette, and the Vancouver Sun. Thanks. We'll see you again next time.